Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
Amen. Well, we are, I began a teaching back in April that took us through the first two chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, and actually halfway through chapter 3, and the teaching was called Eternity in the Hearts of Mankind. And I want to do part 2 of that teaching today. So our message today is entitled Eternity in the Hearts of Mankind, Part 2. And our basic premise in that teaching was that one of the deepest cries of the human heart, one of the deepest longings in every heart of every human being, is the desperate desire for a sense of destiny and purpose. You know, church, the greatest tragedy in life is actually not death. Even though it's tragic that people die, it's tragic when we lose people that are close to us, when we lose people in our lives, and we have to live without them. But the greatest tragedy in life, listen, is really not death. The greatest tragedy in life is life without a reason. Church, it's more tragic to be alive and not know why than to be dead and not know life on this earth. If you don't know why you are living, listen, if you don't know why you're living, your life is being wasted. Your life's being wasted. The tragedy in life is that so many people are alive, but they don't know why they are living. That's why waking up on Monday morning is such a drudgery for so many people. They would just like to stay in bed and just sleep. Because when you sleep, you don't have to think about life. And the issue that we all have to deal with is existence without purpose. And without purpose, life has no meaning. Life has no sense to it. Without purpose, life just becomes an experiment. Without purpose, listen, life has no energy, no drive, no motivation. And as I said at the beginning, one of the deepest cries of the heart of every human being is the desperate desire for a sense of destiny. I mean, no matter what your age, no matter what your race, no matter whether you're rich or poor, no matter what your economic status is, no matter where you live or where you're from, everybody has the same problem. And that problem is that we are all grasping, we are desperately searching, trying to get our hands on a sense of destiny for our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The writer of Ecclesiastes, in the first two chapters of Ecclesiastes, is constantly saying that everything is meaningless. And what he was trying to do, he was trying to get across to us that without a sense of purpose and destiny, without a sense of personal destiny, everything means nothing. If you talk to sociologists and psychologists, they will tell you that the cause of many of our social ills in society is based on one theory. And that theory is the absence of purpose and meaning in the lives of so many people. That's our problem. That's our problem. The youth are confused. The older folks are frustrated. The rich are bored. The poor are depressed. The teenagers are angry. The intellectuals are disillusioned. The scientists are perplexed. The religious people are redundant. And Christians are burnt out. All this because there's no sense of destiny. One of the reasons that we changed the name of this church and that we're making so many other changes is because we want to create a renewed sense of destiny. Let me tell you something. Even being saved doesn't necessarily mean you found your destiny. Now, we know our destination is eternity, but we're talking about destiny in the realm of time. God created everything for a specific purpose. And what is important to God is not necessarily the existence of something, but what God gave it existence to do and to become. And no matter what we do, no matter what we do without purpose, without some type of meaning behind what we do, we are alive, but never quite living. Well, we were really alive in college, but we were never quite living. We were alive, believe me. But we were never quite living. Church, everything equals nothing. That's what the writer in Ecclesiastes is trying to get across in the first two chapters. Everything equals nothing without a sense of purpose and destiny. I'm not just coming here just to be the pastor of the church. Listen, there's meaning and purpose and a sense of destiny behind the rising. There's a direction. There's a path. There's a journey that we're on. Let's go to someone in the scriptures who knew what it was like to have everything and then have nothing. His name was Job. Turn to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Are you here?
Yeah. Were you here?
Job chapter 14. Look at verse 1. Are you there? Verse 1 says, "Man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." Isn't that depressing? I mean, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. Do you fix your eye on such a one? Will you bring him before you for judgment? This is Job asking questions of God. Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. Now, pay close attention to verse 5. Man's days are determined. We're getting into destiny now. He's starting to talk about destiny. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Wow. Wow. He's saying that God has set limits that you cannot exceed. Whatever God gave you birth to do, everything else will make you frustrated. Did you hear what I said? I said everything God gave, whatever God gave you birth to do, everything else will be frustrated to you. The only thing that will give you any sense of peace and confidence is your destiny. Everything else is trouble. It's like a carburetor trying to be a battery. Or a battery trying to be a spark plug. And many of you are frustrated because you are working on something that you are not designed to do. If you are outside of God's determined destiny for you, what you are in will make you frustrated because you can't survive doing what you hate or doing what frustrates you. When Job said that God has set limits you can't exceed, it means you can't improve on God's destiny for your life. You can't substitute for what you were born to do. There's nothing you can do to make yourself satisfied except to do that which you were created to do. You won't be satisfied with millions of dollars if you're not doing what you were created to do. I mean, you might be well off and financially free. You might be able to go anywhere you want to go, but you won't be satisfied. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. He says, "So look away from him and let him alone till he has put in his time like a hired man." Job says, you came to earth to put in time. Job began to understand through all of his trauma that no human being is haphazard. You came here because there was something, watch, you came here because there was something that you needed to deposit in the earth realm. There's something you needed to deposit in the kingdom of God. Let's look at our core scripture, Ecclesiastes 3. If you turn there with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And look at verse 11. Now, after he goes through the first two chapters of Ecclesiastes, which we went through verse by verse in part one of the teaching, after he goes through talking about how everything is meaningless apart from God and apart from your true purpose and destiny, and after discussing all of that, Solomon, the writer Solomon, he suddenly, in chapter 3, makes this shift that seems to give us some encouragement. He says in verse 1 of chapter 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. So he's making a shift here. Now look at verse 11 carefully. Let's look there carefully. Verse 11 says, are you there? It says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, that word beautiful there could be translated matured or come to full maturity. So it says God has made everything in the earth to come to its full maturity. God has made everything beautiful in its time. He's made everything to come to full maturity in its time. So we see it all over creation. Everything becomes, all over creation, everything becomes what it's supposed to be, and then it dies. That's all over creation. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Now watch. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Wow, what a statement that is. He set eternity in the hearts of men. This is what God does, church. God takes you from the unseen, eternity, and puts you in the seen, this realm. But he kept the unseen in you. You hear me? God has set eternity in the hearts of men. God takes you from the unseen, eternity. He put you in the seen, this realm, but he kept the unseen in you. Let me put it this way. There's something in the unseen that God has already established for you to do that you need to do in the seen. So what you were born to do, watch, watch. What you were born to do is already finished, but it's in the unseen. It's just like Christ. Where he said he was crucified when? Before the foundation of the world. That was in the unseen. Then Christ was sent to the seen to manifest this. You see? It's the same for us. It's the same for us. What you were born to do is already finished, but it's in the unseen. And you are sent to the scene to manifest it. So God puts in you, God puts in the you in the scene, but keeps you in touch with the unseen by putting eternity in your heart. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. So therefore, the seen is in touch with the unseen. The physical is in touch with the spiritual. That which is mortal is in touch with the immortal. That's why in every one of you, there's something on the inside that says, there's something I'm supposed to do. There's just something. I don't know what it is. There's a feeling on the inside that you were meant for more than you are currently experiencing. How many know that feeling? If I passed the mic around, we'd have testimony after testimony about that feeling. There's a feeling on the inside That you were meant for more than you are currently experiencing. There's something inside of us saying, it's crying out. It's saying, I'm supposed to do something important in life. And I don't know what it is. And there's frustration and struggle and anxiety. What is that, church? What is that? I'm going to tell you what that is. You know what it is? It's destiny. It's destiny. Ooh, watch. It's eternity talking to time. Jesus. Ooh, I just blessed myself. It's eternity talking to time. It's eternity saying to time, watch, you don't have much time to get me in there. Eternity is talking. Eternity is in your heart. Eternity is saying every day that passes threatens your manifestation. You don't have time to waste anymore. If you're older, you definitely don't have any more time to waste. But I'm going to say, young man, young woman, you can't afford another day doing the wrong thing because eternity is crying out set to time saying, get me in there now before you leave and come back here. God doesn't want you to come back into eternity with what you're supposed to deposit in time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When we read the story of that Jesus told about the three servants and the talents, that's what we're talking about today. We talked about this in part one, but I'm going to go over it again because it's important to understand this. He sent everybody with something. No human being was born empty. You were not born empty. Everybody came with something, and your job and responsibility is to take what you came with and deposit it on this planet because somebody else is supposed to benefit from it. That's church. That's why you dream so much, because God has hid something in you the world needs. Everybody came with something. Now, what did Jesus call the man who buried his talent, who didn't deliver it? What did he call the man? Who said wicked? Wicked. He called him wicked? Jesus, not me. He called him wicked and lazy. Oh, my God. Jesus called the man who buried his talent wicked. I could understand. Okay, Jesus, I can understand maybe lazy, but wicked? Wicked. See, you thought wickedness was witchcraft and black magic and palm reading. You thought that was wickedness, and Jesus calls wickedness, watch, anybody who does not become what they were born to be. My God. That means you might be sitting next to a wicked person in church worshiping. Right now, Sunday morning, wicked people. But what is this? What does he mean? Not fulfilling their purpose, not maximizing their dreams, not becoming their talents or releasing their gifts. You were put here on this earth. You were put in the kingdom of God. You were put in this body, the rising, to release your gifts. He says, when you don't, that's wickedness. And why aren't the gifts released? Jesus says, because you are lazy. Oh. See, thank God I didn't have to say all that. Jesus said it. He says in Ecclesiastes that God has placed in every man eternity. God has set eternity in the heart of every man. What a statement. What a statement. What does that mean? That means he has tied you to a destiny that is in the unseen. That's why you are so frustrated. Because every human being has it. Every young man, every older man, every young woman, every young girl, every older woman. We have the same problem. We are walking around knowing that there's something we're supposed to do and something we're supposed to become. There's that thing. It's calling us. And we can't define it. We just can't put our hands on it. We just can't get a grip on it. Or we can't really fully capture it. But we know it's there. Look what else he says in verse 11. He says, God has set, he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Now watch what he says next. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. My Lord. He ties this mystery of eternity to what God has done from beginning to end. In other words, God has already established an end that he wanted. Then he began you to get to that end. So God has set the end before the beginning. He said, but watch. He said, but you can't fathom the end. Why? Why? Because this book is about men who are living independent of God and who are not in fellowship with God. So we lost contact with the one who set the end. And if you lose contact with the one who set the end, you don't know the reason for your beginning. We know we began, but we don't know why. We know we were born, but we don't know why. We know we exist, but we don't know why. And that's why life is such a frustration. So many people don't know why. This passion that Solomon talks about, that everyone is struggling with, is what he calls purpose, destiny. Look at verse 14 in Ecclesiastes 3. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
All right. Look what he says. Because we're going to go further. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, we're going to go a little further. Look what he says. I know that there is nothing better for men. I'm sorry, verse 14. Know that everything God does, will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Your destiny is what you need to experience some level of satisfaction in this life. Now watch, any more than that will frustrate you. Any less than that will depress you. That's why you can be, how do I put this? You can be successfully wrong. How do I say this? Someone help me, Lord. How do I say this? You can be a successful failure. Everyone thinks you're great except you. You know them. They might be right in your neighborhood. They got the perfect house. They got the perfect car. They got the perfect position. They got the perfect title. They got the perfect job. And they got the perfect depression. Why? Why? Because they have done exactly what they were not born to do, and they are still searching for what they were born to do and born to become. Because it says only God's will, only what God does, only his purpose and destiny for you will endure forever. Church, that's why there is such a spiritual warfare that centers around your destiny. Listen to me. You know what spiritual warfare is, church. You know what it is? Spiritual warfare is the battle to prevent you from reaching your destiny. It's not just about demons and casting out demons. Spiritual warfare is the battle to prevent you from reaching your destiny. Spiritual warfare is the battle for your heart, because he has set eternity in your heart. Your destiny, he set it in your heart. Your purpose is hidden in your heart. And the Bible says the thief, the enemy, the evil, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He doesn't come to steal your wallet. He doesn't come to give you a flat tire. The enemy comes, listen, to steal your destiny. He comes to kill your purpose, and he comes to destroy your heart. And that is the fight. That is the real fight, because eternity is in the hearts of men. Why do you think in Proverbs 4:23, the writer tells us above all else, make this your number one priority. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Church, it's the place God has set eternity. It's where your destiny is placed. It is the wellspring of life. It is the essence of your very existence. And you have to fight for the life God intends for you. Amen. We've got to fight for our heart. That's the battle. That's where the battle is. This is the warfare that no one escapes. No one escapes this warfare. And you are going to be hit. You are going to hit some bumps on the road to destiny. I call the bumps potholes. You ever hit a pothole? You're going to hit some potholes on the road to destiny. There are certain potholes you hit that you have no choice but to pull over to the side of the road. Because the pothole was so deep. And sometimes you got to stop your car and admit you hit a pothole. What are some potholes on the road to destiny? Divorce? Loss of a job? Death? Loss of a loved one? Unexpected chronic illness? Natural disasters, all these things where you feel like the bottom just falls out from under your life. Potholes. They cause you to pull over to the side of the road because you got to get your bearings before you can go on. And you know, church, it seems like everybody else is going on with their life fine. But you got to get your bearings. While everybody else seems to be going along fine, you got to pull over to the side of the road for a season, or maybe a long season. When we go through pain, our passion has to be restored. Because there are moments of pain. I've been there. A lot of you have been there. There are moments of pain when we think our life is over and passion just disintegrates. You know what? Some of you are there right now. Some of you are there right now. The pains, the trials of life, the disappointments, the conflicts, the potholes on the road to purpose and destiny has disintegrated your passion and your desire. And my hope that through these messages, somehow there'll be a spark to reignite passion in you. Passion to write a new chapter in your story. Potholes bring great sorrow, church. But those potholes can cause us to do one of two things. Listen. The potholes can cause us to do one of two things. It can cause you to give up on any purpose or destiny. Or it can cause you at some point an unbelievable resilience that will rise up in you. One of two things. It's either going to cause you to give up on your purpose and destiny, or it's going to cause at some point in the journey this unbelievable resilience in you. Potholes. Anybody ever hit a pothole? There's something inside each of us that's saying, that's crying, I'm supposed to do something important in my life. And I don't know what it is. And there's frustration. I was meant for more than I'm currently experiencing. You know what that is? That's destiny pulling you. Destiny is the source of your frustration. The reason why you're so frustrated in your life is because this thing is pulling you that you cannot see. You know, a lot of people are stuck in a job they hate because destiny is making them hate that job. Because they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. Frustration can be a sign that you are not in your purpose and destiny is pulling at you. Because destiny makes you uncomfortable. If you're doing something you're not designed to do, your destiny pulls you. I mean, your dreams, all the dreams you have, all the passions you have, all the desires you have, they're just manifestations of your destiny. Now, can I control my destiny? Is there anything I can do to control my destiny? Well, first of all, because a lot of people ask me that when we discuss destiny. Well, can I control my destiny? Well, first of all, you didn't create your destiny, number one. But you are a co-creator of the story of your life, watch, that moves you towards your destiny. But you don't create your destiny. Watch. But you can sabotage it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can sabotage it. Destiny doesn't change. Purpose is permanent. Destiny is permanent. It's plans that change. Proverbs 19, verse 21, says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And you can destroy you going to your destiny by making poor decisions, poor choices that will sabotage and short circuit God's purpose for your life. So you can sabotage it. In the story of Joseph, Joseph at 17 years old, saw his purpose. He saw his destiny. Purpose is God's original intent for your life. Destiny is when it's established, and vision is when you see it. So vision is a glimpse of your destiny, which is your purpose. Joseph saw his destiny. He saw himself sitting on a throne, and he saw his brothers kneeling before him. He saw this as a teenager. You, and that tells me, you can discover and move in your mature destiny at any age. Did you hear me? That's why we have to teach our young people this stuff. Because you can discover and move in your mature destiny at any age. And Joseph believed his dream. He believed his destiny. And you can always tell when a person believes their dream because they start talking about it, even though they might be ridiculed and laughed at. Joseph told his brothers about it, and then all these things happened to Joseph. His brothers stripping him of his clothes, putting him in the pit, selling him to slavery, telling lies on him, putting him in prison. All the things that happened couldn't stop his destiny. And I say that to say this, that some of you in here probably feel that with all that's happened to me, with all the mess ups, with all the conflict, how can I even see a destiny? How can I even see that there might be a second half to my life? Well, Abraham's life began at 75 years old. The Apostle Peter's life began after his fishing career. purpose and destiny, listen, comes in phases and seasons. God is a God of phases and seasons. It's like if you raise kids and your kids are grown and they've left home, your life doesn't end. That was a phase in your purpose and your destiny. That was a season in your purpose. You've got another phase. Everybody came to earth, watch. Everybody came to earth with a gift that's bigger than their family function. You don't hear me. Whether it's your family of origin, whether it's the family you created, everybody came to this earth with a gift bigger than their family function. That family, the origin, family of origin, the family you created, was a part of that process. But watch, your dream should explode the older you grow. We seem to give up or fade. Your dream should explode the older you go. Yes, the Bible says the young men dream dreams, but those dreams should explode the older you grow. Listen, church, you carry God's dream on the inside of you. Eternity has been set in your heart, and they are the dreams that are screaming to come out. There's another story to be written. And you can discover, watch, you can discover and move in your mature destiny at any age. I don't care what age you are. Just because you have retired doesn't mean you aren't moving in your mature destiny. I want to close with this morning. Some of you in here, I can feel it. You are on the edge. You are on the cusp of awakening to your destiny. And I just want to implore you this morning to find out, to pursue, to seek, to search, to get counsel, to find out what you were born to be and what you were born to do and awaken to your destiny. Can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Before we close in song, just bow your heads with me. I want to pray over you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I want to ask you this morning to awaken, to stimulate, to motivate, to awaken every heart in this room, Lord, to the destiny that God has placed inside them. Younger, older, male, female, whatever stage of life, whatever status in life, if you're still breathing, you still have purpose and destiny. Lord, you are the creator, Lord. You are the manufacturer. And you know how you created us to function. You know, Lord, what you created us to become. You know what you created us to do. So, Lord, we seek you. We pursue you. We come after you, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, we ask you to reveal your wisdom and your knowledge to us, so that we may walk in your purposes and, Lord, and deposit in this earth what you sent us here to deposit. Lord, I pray we would all continue together to renew our minds, to seek our purpose, to pursue our destinies. And, Lord, I pray we would continue together to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We give you all the glory and praise this morning in Jesus' name. And all the church said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening, church. God bless you.